Mr. Anderson.
May it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Richard Wurzinger. Mr. Wurzinger is a 58-year-old diabetic with severe problems in actually all of his limbs. He also appeared to have a drinking problem since at least 1966, which led to a series of fairly minor criminal offenses. Unfortunately, in either 2000 or 2002, he began using methamphetamine, possibly to counteract depression. He quickly became addicted to that substance and then began making it to supply and fund his own addiction. As a result, was charged with and ultimately pled guilty to conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamine. He was sentenced to 262 months in prison, which was the high end of the guideline range, and in this case, that's an unreasonable sentence. First, because the sentence exceeds Mr. Wurzinger's life expectancy. If he were healthy and not incarcerated, he could be expected, on average, to live almost 3 years longer than the sentence. However, because he's diabetic, his life expectancy is reduced by anywhere from 10 to 15 years, which means that the sentence is actually 85.6 to 145.6 months longer than his life expectancy. As Judge Posner recognized...
What is the significance of this? Are you arguing that diabetics have shorter lifespans in prison than out of prison? Is that the...
No, those statistics are for all diabetics, whether in or out of prison. It's not broken down.
We said in the Krillick case that the fact that somebody has a physical problem is not a reason for a lower sentence. There's no principle in the United States that people who have physical disabilities get to commit crimes cheaply. So it's not a basis for a lower sentence unless there's reason to think that being in prison is itself dangerous to your health, because then the prison is a stiffer penalty than it would be for a healthy person. That's why I'm asking this question. If there's no data, there's just nowhere to go.
There is no specific data.
Any reason to think? Was there any evidence from an expert, for example, that the prisons have had trouble providing required care for diabetic inmates?
Not that I am aware of, although one court did, on the basis of both age and diabetes, reduce the sentence, and in still another case, the court found that the ill health meant that the prison was a greater burden on the defendant and also a greater burden for the Bureau of Prisons to care for the defendant.
Prisons can let him out any time it wants.
Well, I wish that were true, but unfortunately they do have to comply with the sentence.
Pardon?
I said I wish
the
that were...
The Attorney General, under the statute, the Attorney General can designate someone to serve his sentence at home.
I believe that's only within 6 months of expected death.
No, Attorney General can do that any time, and the President can exercise clemency. There's no problem. If the executive branch doesn't want to hold this man, they won't hold him a day longer than they want.
There is a clemency power, that's true, although that is very rarely exercised, and we do have to deal with the sentence as it stands right now. And as Judge Posner recognized in Jackson, a life sentence couldn't even be...
It doesn't matter who writes opinions of this court.
That's true. I was just saying that because it wasn't the majority opinion. It was a concurrence. Said that it was life sentence couldn't be justified as retributive justice, even for a recidivist bank robber. Therefore, it couldn't be justified for someone less serious, such as Mr. Wurzinger, as just punishment. Now, true, prior to Booker, that couldn't have been considered. Now, the court does have to look at all of the 3552A factors, and Congress has not said that conspiracy to manufacture over 50 grams of methamphetamine deserves a life sentence. Maybe in a few cases it does. I don't know. We're dealing with this case. The district court's response to that was to simply declare that a 58-year-old defendant with ill health, that's typical of most defendants. However, the district court was clearly wrong, both with respect to the Western District of Wisconsin and nationally. Mr. Wurzinger is about 25 years older than the average defendant in the Western District of Wisconsin, and nationally, only 9% of all defendants, only 6% of all drug defendants, were over the age of 50 in 2005.
Well, he is an exception which is just sort of interesting that he's 58 and doing all this. You implied that he was doing this for his own use, which obviously...
Well, at least in part, presumably some of it was to get the money to continue to supply his own use.
Getting his whole family involved and lots of other people, apparently.
Well, that's debatable from record who involved who or whether it was simultaneous or what. But yes, it is very unusual for somebody this age to start on the path of drug addiction. So usually a much younger person's game, so to speak. But his age and health do make it less likely that he'll reoffend. And as I said, both those factors have supported below-guideline sentences in several cases. The Eighth Circuit, however, found that courts must disregard age and physical condition in almost all cases. There are two responses to that. One, this isn't almost all cases. This is an exceptional case. And two, the Eighth Circuit's Lee decision conflicts with Booker's command to consider all of the 35-3A factors. A court does have to consider the Sentencing Commission's policy statements, but the Congress didn't say that those policy statements trump the statutory directive to consider the defendant's history and characteristics in 35-3A1, which is probably why this court in Baker affirmed a below-guideline sentence that was partially based on the defendant's age, and the Tenth Circuit found that a below-guideline sentence could be permissible on grounds that were formerly forbidden to be used as departures. Now, in addition, Mr. Wurzinger's sentence is over seven times as long as that of his most culpable co-conspirator, who in federal court would have been subject to the same base offense level as him, but only received 3 years in state prison, which means you probably do about a year and a half. This goes to the obvious factor of disparity, which this and other courts have criticized, but it also goes to factors of indicating the seriousness of the offense and what is just punishment, what is necessary for general and specific deterrence, and public respect for the law, since most people, if they looked at a 58-year-old defendant in ill health, saw that he got about seven times as long as a almost as culpable co-conspirator who was much younger and presumably in good health, would have less respect for the law. And this court in Miller did not consider the other factors besides disparity. Perhaps is why the Eighth Circuit either commanded or allowed consideration of severity between co-defendants in three cases. Swerzinger's offense of criminal history is the result of untreated substance abuse, and several courts have gone lower because of that, probably because a lot of research since the guidelines has shown the promise of comprehensive drug treatment. And in addition, Mr. Wurzinger's sentence, longest previous sentence, was only 90 days in prison, which is over 87 times less than his current sentence. And one court found that a sentence of even a few years would probably be sufficient for deterrence when previous sentences were measured in months or days. Therefore, if a sentence can be unreasonably high after Booker, this sentence is it, and this court should remand this case to the district court for sentencing Mr. Wurzinger to a lower sentence. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Ms. Altman.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Elizabeth Altman, and I represent the United States in this case. The defendant's sentence, which was within an unchallenged and properly calculated guideline range, is reasonable. The district court considered aggravating and mitigating factors under 3553A and imposed a sentence it believed to be proper. Because the sentence is within the guideline range, it is presumptively reasonable, and the defendant has not rebutted that presumption. The same arguments that the defendant makes today and in his appeals brief were made to the district court. None of them are extraordinary, and none of them rebut the presumption of reasonableness. In a decision issued by this court yesterday, it deals with some of the factors that the defendant raises in his appeals brief. That is United States versus America versus Hankton and Davis, decided September 7th, 2006. In that case, this court found that the problem is that mere evidence of a pre-existing drug and alcohol addiction without more falls far short of rendering a properly calculated guideline sentence unreasonable. It then goes on to say the same can be said for Mr. Davis's other 3553A arguments. He claims that he was at times responsible, held legitimate employment, tried to help his friends and family, and was a good father when he was able to be there for his children. The court found that those arguments did nothing to overcome the fact that Mr. Davis stood convicted of a serious criminal drug offense and found the sentence to be reasonable. Similarly, in this case, Mr. Wurzinger committed a serious drug offense and his sentence is reasonable. The district court found that the defendant had been under investigation since at least 2002, that his offense involved more than 3 kilograms of methamphetamine and firearms, that he was responsible for most of the
firearm way.
I don't know, but there were numerous firearms.
Not included, however, in the weight calculation.
Correct. He was responsible for most of the methamphetamine produced and distributed in the region, that he made his wife use methamphetamine, that he had been involved in the system for 39 years, that he was on probation at the time of this offense, and that he had been undeterred from criminal behavior. The district court specifically addressed the issue of disparity and found that there was none.
I wonder, of course, why the state judges are such suckers for sob stories.
The district court, I believe, raised the question if they had gotten more substantial state sentences, if it might prohibit them from recommitting and seeing them in the federal system. And unless the state system changes its ways, we will probably not know the answer to that. The district court also discussed the defendant's age, his health, his relationship with his family, and after all of that, he imposed a sentence at the top of the guideline range. The fact that there may be another sentence that is reasonable does not make this sentence unreasonable. Therefore, I would respectfully request this court affirm the defendant's conviction and his sentence. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Altman. Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, just a couple things. First, I would point out that in a footnote, as this court has said in other opinions, in Hankton, this court said that the presumption of reasonableness is rebuttable, which implies that in some cases a within-guideline sentence will be unreasonable. This is one of those rare cases. And the without more is here in this case because Mr. Wurzinger's entire criminal history, with the possible exception of the welfare fraud that his wife actually committed, seems to be related to substance abuse. Therefore, we'd ask this court to remand for resentencing. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until next week.